Begin the current daf Masechta Shabbos daf Kuf Lamed Vav. Begin 5 lines up from the top, from the bottom of Kuf Lamed Hey Amid Beis, where the Gemara continues the theme of the previous daf, speaking about doing the Bris Milah on the 8th day, even if it falls out on Shabbos. So the Gemara begins with a topic that will segue into that idea. So the Gemara begins. Tan you learn the Braisa. Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer, Kol Sheshol Lamed Yoyim Ba'Odom Einan Eifu. Any child that lived and survived at least for 30 days is not considered nafel. He's not in a situation where he's a non-viable child, because from the fact that he survived 30 days is obviously from the fact that he's a viable and healthy living child. Shnem, like it says in the Pasuk, ufiduyov, and his redemption. And this is a Pasuk talking about by Bechor of Adam, by the firstborn of a child from a woman, that child has to be redeemed from the cutting with 5 slum. So it says, when does that redemption happen? Miben chodesh tifta, from the time when he reaches a month, that's when you redeem him. So from the fact that the pasuk hinges his redemption of the child when he reaches 30 days old, that's obviously because now it's been clarified that he's a viable child and not before that. So you see from the pasuk that it designates for 30 days, that is when the viability factor kicks in, when he reaches 30 days old. However, regarding an animal, as at least if it reaches 8 days old, then that has escaped from the category of a nafel, and it's also considered a viable animal. Like it says in the Pasuk, that from the 8th day and on, then the carbon, the animal, will be considered willing. It will be a ratzon for HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a carbon. And that is, it has to pass the 7-day mark bench and it reaches the 8th day. Then again, that's considered a viable animal and living. And then you could bring it as a carbon, but not before that, because then again, it could be in the category of a navel that possibly it's not viable. So the Gemara is medayik. It infers from this statement, haloisha, but if he didn't wait, if it didn't reach day 30 for a person, or if it didn't reach day 8 for an animal, then sveikahav, then it's a situation of doubt. On that, the Gemara asks, and we continue at the top of Kof Lamed Vav and Aleph. Mimel Heichem Alinle. And this is related to the sugi that we were talking about. How do we ever do a bris milah for any child on the 8th day if it's on Shabbos? Maybe this child is a nafel. Maybe he's a non-viable child because he didn't reach day 30 yet, and therefore he's not fit to do a bris milah on it, and therefore you're creating chabur, you're creating a wound in the child, not for the purpose of a mitzvah, because a mitzvah is only done in a viable child, and this is like a dead person because he hasn't reached day 30. If it's a suffix, how could you ever do, as we said in the previous stuff, a matzav of suffix, a situation of doubt? You don't do the bris milah on Shabbos. So Amar Rav Adar Bar Hava, it's not true. You do the bris milah on the child because either way it's not a problem. And that is im chayhu, if it's a live child, that is if the months have completed, and that is it has lived a complete 9 months or 7 months, where then we say that it's going to be a viable child, even if it's on day 1, we know it's going to survive, then shaper kamohol, then it definitely is a good bris milah, good circumcision, because it's a viable child. Vim lav, and if not, if it hasn't reached a complete 9 months, where then we say if it was born in the 8th month, for example, at least in the times of the Gemara, that it was considered like a dead child, it's not going to survive, then even though we're not sure here, mechatech bebasarhu, still what are you doing? You're not doing any malacha, so you're just cutting a piece of meat. It's like you're cutting a piece of dead flesh. And that is when a person eats chicken or meat on this table, he's also cutting into flesh. And even though there might be some blood there, that's not considered a chabura. A chabura, a wound, which is considered malacha deraisa, is only in a living entity. And since either if he's live, it's not a problem, because then it's a good bris milah. And if he's dead, so it's a dead piece of meat, and therefore you're not creating chabura, you're not creating a wound. So either way, it's not going to be a problem for doing a bris milah on a child that hasn't reached day 30, and we're not definite that he's considered viable. But then the Gemara asks, if that's true, the yisoid we just said, the time this, it would learn the Braisa brought on the previous stop. Savik ben Zayin, Savik ben Ches, Ein Mechal Novas to Shabbos. Regarding a child that it's not clear if he was born in the 7th month, which then he's a viable child, or if he was born in the 8th month, when, again, the time of the Gemara, it was not considered a viable child, that we're not Mechal on him on the Shabbos to do Bris Milah, because again, it's a situation of doubt if he's viable or not. And we said regarding it says, our law say that it has to be his foreskin, that only when it's a definite foreskin, but not when it's a suffix, if it's going to be a good meal or not, that you're not taking a Shabbos. Am I? Why you're not Machal Shabbos? Why don't you do the Bris Milah on Shabbos? Nimhali Mamanavshuch. You should circumcise this for either way, as we just explained. Im Chayhu Shaper Kamal. If this child is alive, that is, he was born in the 7th month, where then he's a viable child, so then it's a good bris milah. Vim lav, and if not, that he was born in the 8th month, mechatech bebasar, what are you doing? You're just cutting a piece of meat. It's not considered a chabura wound, because that's only by a living entity, and here it's not considered living. So therefore, either way, it should be okay to do the bris milah on Shabbos, as we just explained, regarding a child that hasn't reached day 30 yet. That the Gemara says, you're right. But Omamar Bered Ravina, he says, Anov Reb Nechumi Bar Zechari Tagimna, we interpreted this halacha that said that it's a problem to do it when it's a Safik Ben Zayin, Safik Ben Ches, is Mimul Hochinam Melinla. You're right. Such a child, you would do the bris mila, the circumcision, Mimanav Shach, as we just explained, because either way, it's okay. If he's a live child, so you're doing a bris mila. If he's dead, so then you're cutting a piece of meat. You're not creating, inflicting a wound that's only on the living entity. Loi Nitzcha, we only needed this to say that it's going to be a problem and you're not going to be able to do it when it's a suffix, if it's a doubt, if it's a child born in the 7th month, which is viable, or the 8th month, which is not. Eila Machshir Mila, only for the preparatory actions related to the Bris Mila, Va'alib Reb Elazar, and this is going in the opinion of Reb Elazar. And that is this that we have to tell you, that Yenamachal Shabbos, if it's a doubt, if it's born in the 7th month or the 8th month, that was only talking about for the Machshir Mila, that Reb Elazar holds that generally that is the Eicha Shabbos. But it's only by a child that we're definite, we know that he completed his months and that he's viable. That his 9 months have passed from when she had relations with her husband and then she gave birth. And that is, she didn't even have any relations in the whole or time that she was pregnant. So therefore, we know definitely that it was from that time and 9 months have already passed. So we know that it's a complete child and that he's viable. But when it's a suffix, then the machshir and the preparatory acts of the bris mila is not going to be deicha Shabbos, because maybe it's not a child that is permitted to do a bris mila. And then it's going to be considered a chil Shabbos when you're making the coals to make the iron, to make the knife. You're right, the bris mila is nothing wrong. You're just cutting a piece of meat like you're allowed to do when you're eating a piece of chicken. Now, however, here Rebbe Elazar says, not only could you do the bris mila, but you're even allowed to do the preparatory acts of cutting off a branch from the tree and going ahead and turning it to charcoal, all these acts to go ahead and make a knife to do the bris mila. Now that would be a problem of chil Shabbos, because although the cutting won't be because he's dead, and therefore there's not considered chabura, but all these acts are chil Shabbos, and that would be a concern. Therefore, since it's a situation of doubt, for that we say not be mechal Shabbos, but correct, regarding the actual bris mila, that's not a problem, as we explain. So the Gemara says, Rama Abaya, and in truth is Ketanoi. This concept that we mentioned before regarding a complete nafel, that a child is born in the 8th month, if he's considered like he's dead, literally, like Rav Adabra Havis, and therefore it's like you're just cutting a piece of meat, or not, that even the 8th month old child will be considered a chabur, inflicting a wound, because although he's not going to survive, however, he's still alive in the flesh now, we see he's making noises and living, it's really a machloi Ketanoi. It says in the Pasuk, in Vayikra Yud Aleph, V'chiyomis min ha-behema, that if we'll die from an animal, ashehi lochem la'ocha, that's for you to be eaten. That is, that's talking about a kosher animal. So the pasuk there ends that if it dies, if it wasn't slaughtered properly, it wasn't shechita, so that's what's called a nevela carcass. So it says, ha-negeib and aflas, so if it touches the carcass, yitmad arv, that is the halacha of nevela, that a carcass, a dead animal, transmits halacha of tum if it wasn't slaughtered properly. So on that, the Brisa brings, lehevi ben shmoyne she'en shechitase mitarase. That comes to include that an animal that was born in the 8th month, that there the slaughtering is not metarit from its tumah, and that is, it will still convey tumah as nevela, even if it was slaughtered. That is generally an animal that's slaughtered, we know we can eat, there's no tumah related to such an animal. However, here, if it was born in the 8th month, even if it's a kosher animal, and it was slaughtered, still the extra word la'ochla, to eat, is going to include that it's even going to convey tumah as a nevela, even if it was slaughtered. As Rashi brings, that this whole pasuk was expounded on in Taras Kayanim. That first it says in the pasuk, v'chiyomis min ha-behema, that if we'll die from the animal, that the word min, from, is always an exclusion, it's always a miyut, to tell you that some of the animals will convey tumma, again, if they just die without shechita, that's by a kosher animal, but some will not convey tumma. That comes to exclude a treifa, an animal that has a fatal defect in it, that it's going to die, it has a problem with its heart or something, that if it was slaughtered, that although it's not included in la'ochla, which the pasuk says, it's not fit to be eaten because you can't eat a treva, however, that's what the pasuk is excluding by saying that the shechita will be metar, even the case, although it says in the pasuk, it has to be la'ochla, but min ha-behema comes to say that a treva, an animal with a fatal defect that was slaughtered, will be tahar, it will purify it through the act of shechita. Now, from the fact that we're coming to exclude a treifa that was slaughtered, obviously we're talking about a kosher animal, because a non-kosher animal, there's no aspect of slaughtering it, because you can't, what is slaughtering? Slaughtering is to eat a kosher animal. There's no such idea of slaughtering a swine or something that's not kosher. And therefore, and then the pasuk comes to say, ashehi lechem, that for you, which is unnecessary, because already is inferred that we're talking about an animal that's for you, because again, we're talking about a kosher animals, so that's coming to include a non-kosher animal, that it does become a nevela even with the act of shechita, that it's going to become an avela. And then when the pasuk ends, la'achla, to eat, that's what our Gemara is talking about, that it's coming to include an animal in the eighth month, that even if it was slaughtered, still it's considered as if it died, and that as a shechita is not going to help to be metaharet, and therefore it's going to convey tumah in all cases, even with shechita. That's the opinion of the Tanna Kamma, that it's included in the word la'achla. Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, they argue and they say, no, shechitasa mitarasai, even the animal that's born in the eighth month is going to be the same. It's a regular kosher animal, it's a regular cow, it's a calf, and now it was born in this eighth month. Then go ahead, when you slaughter it, so then that purifies it from its tum. It's only if it's an avela carcass, it died without shechita, then it becomes tummy. So we have a machlokes over here in the braisa regarding an animal born in the eighth month. Do we say that the word la'achla is saying that it's only an animal that can be eaten, which is excluding the animal born the eighth month, that there, even if you slaughter it, it's still going to be metame like a nevela? Or do we say, like the other two tanoim, that it, even an animal born the eighth month, if it's slaughtered, it will be tar and it will not kevei tumah? So that the Gemara wants to say, and this is what Abaye's point was, my love, b'hokam mifli, isn't it obvious that they're arguing about this concept, this idea that Rav Adbar Hav was talking about? The Marasabra, that Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, they hold, chayhu, that an animal in the eighth month, lamaisa, it's alive. And therefore the shechita, the slaughtering of it, will be metaret, although it might not live because it was born in the eighth month, but right now it's alive. And therefore we're saying that it's considered alive, and therefore the slaughtering will be metaret. Marasabra, however, the Rabban hold that no, mesu, that even if it was slaughtered, it's not going to be metaret. And that's the idea that they're arguing on the same yesod. Do we view something born in the eighth month as viable as alive or non-viable as dead? And that the Gemara says, Amar Rava, he argues. He says, Ihachi, if this is what they were arguing about this concept of Rav Adbar Hava, that do we say like Rav Adbar Hava that we say that it, when it was born in the eighth month, that we see it as dead and like cutting a piece of meat, and it has no viability at all, and therefore we're going to view it again as dead, and that's why it's not going to be metara, as the Rabban said, it's not going to be metara in the case of the tumah that would be conveyed regarding when it dies without shechita, that rather it's not going to help because it's dead, and you can't be metara, it's already a carcass when it's still living. Or do we say, like the Rabbi Yosef Yehuda and Elizabeth Shimon, that they say that it will be metara because they do view it as viable? If that's what they were arguing about, so mythically in the Tumah v'Tahara, instead of arguing, which is the topic they're talking about in the Pasuk of Tumah and Tahara, that is, do we say that it's like a nevela that it conveys Tumah, or do we say that the Shechita helped to purify it, that it's not a nevela anymore? Lifligli in Lachila, say even a bigger Chiddush, let them argue regarding eating it, that if it's permitted to eat it because of its slaughtering or not. In other words, they're arguing, if you're saying they're arguing on this concept, is it alive or is it dead? Now, if it's alive and you slaughter it, so it's a regular kosher animal, it's a cow, and you slaughter it so you could eat it. So that would be bigger chiddush than saying just that it's not tame, because you could say it's not tame, but it still cannot be eaten. No, you're saying they're arguing about the concept of it's alive or dead, so then you could even eat it. And the other one's saying, no, that you cannot eat it. Why would they argue only regarding the concept of tame and tahara? They should have said a more obvious case of, is it alive or dead, regarding can we eat it or not? Or was it dead before it was even slaughtered, because halachically we view it as dead. And therefore, Rava argues, and he says, "El de kuli alma mesu." Now, everyone agrees to Rav Adbar Hava that halachically we view it as dead, and even though it's alive and breathing now, it's not going to survive. And therefore, if you slaughter it, you definitely cannot eat it. However, the machlokes is as follows: Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Savri Kitreifa. They view the animal born the eighth month like a treifa, like an animal that has a fatal defect, and that is, as we said before, that the shechita of an animal with a fatal defect, of a treifa, would be metaharet from its conveying tum, as we said from the words min habehem, which comes to exclude a treifa that although it's not mutter to be eaten, it's not la'achla, however, it will not convey tum if it's slaughtered. And that is, why do they compare the animal born in the eighth month to a treifa? Because treifa, just like we find by a treifa, lav afagav de mesi, even though it's a dead animal, it has a fatal defect, it's a ticking, it's a time bomb, it's going to die any time. So in a sense, it's dead, and still shechitas mitarasa, still the slaughtering, but purifies it. Here also, by the animal born in the eighth month, it's the same idea. It's not going to survive, but since now it's alive, and therefore the shechita will metar it. So therefore, it's the same idea, and that's why they held that it's going to be metar it. Rabbanon loy dami l'treifa. Rabbanon say no, you cannot compare it to a treifa. Treifa, hoys l'shasa kosher. an animal with a fatal defect, it had an opportune time that it could have been slaughtered and been tar, that is before it got the fatal defect, when it was healthy, and then one time it was walking somewhere and it got something lodged in, and now it's going to die in a short amount of time. But since it was viable at one point, so then we say that it's going to be tar through the shechita. However, the animal born in the 8th month never had an opportune time. It was born like this. It was already born ready to die, and therefore they were going to say possibly that the shechita will not be mitaret. And that is what they argue in, but everyone agrees that it's a dead animal regarding shechita. The whole machlekes was, do we compare it to a treifa or not, to say that the shechita will be mitaret or not. And then, b'chitim, if you're going to respond to me, that treifa mibetin ma'ikal ameima, that although I'm trying to say that there's a difference between treifa and regarding the animal born in the 8th month, that you cannot compare them because at least the treifa that has a fatal defect had a time before it had this weakness, this tarfus, that it could have been slaughtered. Yeah, but what do you say about an animal that was born with this fatal defect? There, it's also considered that the shechita will be mitaret. So he says, no, because hasam yesh b'mina shechita, there at least that type of animal has the concept of shechita related to it. That is because we find by treifas that there are those that they do have a time of shasa kosha, that is before they become a treifa. Not all of them are born with the fatal defect. However, hocha in b'mina shechita, here, by the animal born the 8th month, that problem never has an animal that has the opportunity of slaughtering, because every animal born the 8th month will not survive. And therefore, again, you cannot compare it to treifa. Although by treifa, we have the from the pasuk of min behema that comes to tell you that even if it's a treifa, it doesn't have la'achla. If you're going to slaughter it, it'll purify it from tumah. Here, by the animal born the 8th month, you don't have that. And therefore, everybody agrees to have adam, that it's dead. The whole machlokes was, do we say that regarding the animal born the 8th month of tumah tahara, do we compare it to treifa or not, that it will purify from its tumah or not? Now the Gemara goes back to the beginning of the daf. We said in the beginning of Daf, we quoted from Shimon Gamliel. So the Gemara asked Ibailu, we asked the following question. Mi peligi, do they argue? Is there a machloikis regarding the summit? Is there anyone that says that it's permitted the animal of a behemoth within 8 days to go ahead and utilize the animal? And that is, do they argue Abban Aled Reb Shimon Gamliel? Although Reb Shimon Gamliel said up until 8 days, the animal is in a situation of nafal, that maybe it's not going to survive, and therefore you cannot slaughter it as an animal because it might not be viable. Do the Rabban argue in Reb Shimon Gamliel, and do they say that yes, you could even slaughter it even before day 8, or Eilai, or maybe not, maybe they agree to him. And Imtim Tzalema Pligi, and if you say that they do argue, Halacha Kamoisoi Oyen Halacha Kamoisoi, would we say that the Halacha follows Reb Shimon Gamliel, that it's only viable from day 8, not like the Rabban who would say even from before, or not, that the Halacha would not follow? So Gemara brings Tashma, we learned in the Brice, that says, Egel Shanoi Lebe Yamtib, regarding a calf that is born on Yamtib. So the halacha is sheichdin oisib yamtiv, although it was born today, you'll have to slaughter it today. And that is, we say that it doesn't have the halacha of mukta, because although things that are called noila, that they're born today, that was only created today, there is such an element of mukta to it. We say no, because at the time of Bein HaShemashes, which is when the concept of mukta kicks in, do we see the object as prepared for Shabbos, or mukta set aside and not designated for use? It was considered muchen, it was prepared because of the virtue of its mother, because the mother was available, and the animal is a tuffle, a secondary to the mother, so therefore we consider it as it was prepared. But what we see from this, although that's Toma Muktzah, we hear from that it was permitted to be used on that day, and that's not like Reb Shimon Gamliel, because Reb Shimon Gamliel would say, an animal born that day, maybe it's a nafal, we have to wait till day 8. So obviously you see that the Rabban argue on Reb Shimon Gamliel. And that Gemara says no. Here the price is talking about the kimlig begavei shekalu lechadoshav, that they know definitely about this animal that had completed its months. And they even, Reb Shimon Gamliel would agree that it's not a nafal. If we know that it lived 9 months, then we know that it's something that's a viable animal, then you can slaughter it even on day 1. Reb Shimon Gamliel was talking about a general animal that we don't know when it was born, therefore we don't know if it's a nafal or not, if it's going to survive or not. Then you have to wait till day 8, but if you know, then right away you could definitely slaughter it, and therefore it's not a raya that anyone argues on him. Tashma, the Gemara again attempts to bring a raya. B'shavin, that they agree, and this is a reference to the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, that they argue regarding if you're allowed to see the mumen regarding a defect in a bechor, in a firstborn animal, on Yom Tov. And this is a machlokes in Masechtas Beis, that a person has to give his firstborn animal to the kohen. And then the question is if it's brought out of the carbon, or if it doesn't have, that's only if it doesn't have a mum, it doesn't have a defect. But if it's not, then it's not brought as a carbon. And then the person could use it as a hedyot in a regular fashion. So there's a machlekes over there if one is allowed to view it on Yom Tov, not if that's a problem of consider like mesakin, it's like it's fixing the animal by saying that it's usable now. Up until now, it wasn't usable because it had to be brought as a carbon. So there's a machlekes, however, they both agree. Shem noilad hu umuma imoy. That if the animal was born on Yom Tov together with the defect, shezem menamuchen, that is considered that's already prepared. And that you're allowed to inspect the wound, the mum, on Yom Tov, because that's not similar to being mesakin it on Yom Tov to fixing it, because we never had a cheskas issa, we never had a situation that its default position was that it's forbidden, and that now you're coming to permit it, because as the Gemara over there says, it's told about that the dayanim, the judges, were sitting there at the time of when the animal was born. And therefore, it came in this situation, and now we're inspecting what it is. So therefore, it's not something that was usher yet. We didn't say that it's usher because we're viewing it for the first time. So therefore, now that we look at it, we could judge it right away and see if it is. But so although that's talking about, again, the concept of muktzah or not, however, what you do see from there also is that it was permitted even though it's born on that day, on the day of Yom Tov, even though it didn't reach day 8. So it seems like that brisa is like others who are arguing of Shem Galil and saying animal is fit even before day 8. But the Gemara says again, no, Hachanami Shekol L'Chadosh, here that's also talking about that they knew for sure that it had completed the 9 months, and therefore they knew that it's viable, and the Ibn Shem Gamil would agree that you could bring it on day one. So Toshima, the Gemara, finally brings a raya that the Amar Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul, Halacha Kerb Shem Gamil. We find that in the Moira said that the Halacha follows of Shem Gamil. So therefore it answers both our questions. Halacha mechlal de pligi shemamina. Obviously from the fact that he says the halacha follows him, that means to say that yes, but there are others that argue. And therefore that also answers our question that although there are others that argue, but the halacha does follow Shem Gamliel, and that is, if we're not clear about the animal, it's a situation of doubt, that you have to wait to day 8 for it to be considered that it's not an aval and to be viable as an animal to be slaughtered. So Abaya comes to qualify this machloikis that we just said, that if it needs to be waited till day 8 or not, Nafu menagag, if it falls from the roof, or if a lion eats it, that is, if it died because of something else within the 30 days from something from a different element, something external, and that it didn't die on its own, then Abaya says, Devah kol chayu. Everyone agrees that the child, the animal, is considered viable, is considered alive. That is, everyone agrees that it has a chazakah, that it has the status quo that it completed its month. And that is, if not for the fact that it had this external death that happened to it from a lion or from falling off the roof, we say that it was alive. And therefore, regarding a person, we say that this was a full-fledged child, and therefore it would exempt a mother, for example, in the case of chalitza, where if a woman's husband died without any children, then she has to have yibum and chalitza. But if she had a child, then she doesn't have to. So this child died within 30 days, that we don't know if it's quote-unquote a child or not, that we say if it died because a lion ate or if it fell from the roof, then we say that it was a child. We say that it has that status quo. And the same thing applies to an animal. A general animal from a child of an animal that was slaughtered within 8 days is kosher, it's mutter to eaten, because we don't say that we suspect that there's a possibility that there's a race over here. We say no, that there's something called a rave. A majority of those that give birth don't give birth to those that are non-viable children. And therefore, if it's from an external area where it died, then we say that everybody would agree that it doesn't have to wait for day 8, and we say that it was considered a child even from before, from right away. Key pligi, this whole machlokes was shepiek b'meis, where the child yawned and he died. In other words, what it means to say is, after his birth, they didn't see that much life in him. He just yawned and he died, and that's talking about a human child. There we have a machlokes, mar sover chayu. There the rabban say, still, we view the child as alive, and that is even before we reach day 8. Umar sover, that's where Rishon Gamliel says, that meisu, that is considered dead. However, if it died from an external area where something else caused its death, then we say that even before the age, Rabbi Shimon would agree that it's alive. And that the Gemara is lamai nafki. I mean, what would be make the difference regarding this case if it was considered viable or not? So that is lifter min a yibim, to exempt a woman from yibim. That is, if we say that it was considered a child even before day 8, and it was only died because an animal ate it, then we say because it would make a big, huge difference for the woman if she has to go through the whole process of the brother of her husband doing the process of yibim or not, and or because we say if it's a child, then she doesn't require it. But then the Gemara asks on Abaye's pshat, the way he qualified this machlekes. You just said, nafal min agag, if it falls from the roof, or ochel ari, or if a lion eats it, divrei kol chayu. There everybody agrees that it's alive. It was only in the case where we didn't see much life in it, there B'Shem Gamliel says that there's a reyes over here, there's a reason to suspect that it wasn't a full-fledged person, then it would only be if it reached day 8 for an animal, or day 30 for a human. But the Gemara brings a story that seems to contradict this. For a papa of who in the bread of Yeshua, Iklu lebei berei derav Idibar Oven. They went to the house of the son of Rav Idibar Oven. Va'aved lohu iklu tilsa b'yamama d'shevah. They made for the Teru Tamid Chachamim a third-born calf, which was considered a delicacy of a meal. On the seventh day of this animal's birth, from 7 days from when it was born. Va'amri lei, and they said to him, look, ir tachisu lei, had you waited from slaughtering this animal, ad l'urta, until the night, which would have been the night of the eighth day, then we would have eaten from it. And that is because the concept of what's called miktus ayim kukule. Some of the days considered like the whole day has passed, and therefore you had already 8 days. As it says in the pasuk in Berikah Chav Beis, it says to bring an animal as a carbon, it has to be 7 days under the mother, which makes it sound like that at the night already of the eighth day, it's already considered ro to bring as a carbon. However, although it says in the pasuk that miyoyim hashmini hu diyarat, so that only on the eighth day is when you can actually bring the carbon, and that is at nighttime you cannot bring it, that's because it says in the pasuk b'yoyim tzavoyis lahakav, on the day that it's commanded, that's when you have to bring it. However, from the category of nafal, it's already excluded already at the night of the eighth day, and you could already be mekadeshit as a carbon, as the Gemara in Zevachim says, that the nighttime you could already sanctify it, and that the day is when you could actually bring it. And therefore, that's regarding kadshim. But regarding chulin, it's already fit to slaughter it already at night and to eat it. And therefore, they said, had you waited just a few more hours, it would have been nighttime, it would have been already the eighth day, which would have been considered as if the whole eighth day, and therefore it already had lived 8 days, then we would have eaten. But now we're not going to eat from it because it never reached day 8. And therefore, the Gemara says that you see that those that hold, like Rav Shimon Gamliel, that it has to reach day 8, they argue even regarding a case where the death came from an external place, which in this case was the actual Shechita. And they said it's a suffix. We don't know if it's a viable animal or not. And therefore, maybe it was dead halachically and we cannot eat it. So therefore, how could you, Abaye, say that everyone agrees when there's some external? Then no one would say and suspect, because since we have arrived that most animals are viable, not non-viable, that everyone would agree that it's kosher. Yet here we have a clear-cut story that said that even though the death came about from an external area, from a slaughtering, from a shechita, and still they said we can't eat it because it never reached day 8. So therefore the Gemara revises and says in the reverse, Ella rather kishapiyaku meis, diriakol meis. Rather, everyone agrees is when the child just yawned and then it died, then everyone agrees that it's considered a dead. It never had viability. It never had any chias. Ki pligi, when was the machlokes of Shem Gliel and Rabbanon, benofel min agag v'och lari, where it fell from the roof and a lion ate it. There, mar sabar mesu, there Shem Gliel considers it as dead. Mar sabar chayu, and that's what the Rabban argued, and they said that it's considered as alive because we have no reason to suspect that it wasn't viable because it didn't just yawn and die. We saw life in it, but an animal came and ate it up, and therefore we go with the rive, and that Shem Gliel held that no, even there, you have no definitive concept to show this, and therefore we'll consider it as if it's even as a possibility that it was dead. So Gemara brings a story to illustrate these concepts that a child is not considered viable definitively until after day 30. So Bereder of Dimi Bar Yosef, the son of Rav Dimi Bar Yosef, is Yolid Lehahu Yenuk. He gave birth to a child, and Begoit Lasan Yoyim Shachav, within 30 days of the child's birth, the child passed away. So Yosef Kemisabal Levehi, so he was sitting and he was mourning over his child. So his father told him, Savrinisa, that is the types of food that they would customarily serve for the mourners. Is that kabois lamecha? That's what you want to eat? In other words, that's why you're mourning for nothing, because you just want to eat, everyone can bring you the food into the shiva house? In other words, it's a situation of a suffix nafal. It never reached day 30, so therefore there's no reason to mourn over the child, because it wasn't a definitive, viable child. So Amalei said to him, no, Tati, I know that it was a viable child. Because Kimle Bei Shekol Chadash, I know that he had the period of the pregnancy was a complete 9 months, and therefore I know that it was a viable child. The whole thing is when you're not sure what month it's being born and you don't know when the conception was, and then you say that it's a suffix, and therefore if it didn't reach day 30, it's not definitive, but I know that it was, and that's why I'm mourning. A similar type of story the Gemara brings is Rav Ashi Ikle Bei Rav Kahane. Rav Ashi once went to the house of Rav Kahane, who was visiting him. And Isra Bei Milsa, something happened to him, which is always a term of avelus of mourning, Begoit Lasin Yoyme, within 30 days of the child's birth, the child had passed away. So he saw that he was sitting and he was mourning over his child. So he asked him, don't you hold to this concept that we had Paskin, that we just mentioned before in the Gemara, halacha of Shem Gamliel, and that you don't have to mourn the child that didn't reach day 30 because it's not considered a definitive live child until it reaches day 30. Why are you mourning? And that he said a similar refrain as the other Amora, Amalei Kimli Begavesh, Kol HaChadash, I know that he had the pregnancy was a full 9 months and therefore was a viable child, and that's why I'm mourning, even though he died within 30 days because it wasn't a suffix of Nephil. I know that he was a viable child. So Gemara brings Itmar, Meis Betech Shleishim. If the child dies within 30 days of the birth, and it's talking about a case where the father had no other child but this child, and he was born after the father had already died. And through this child, they were going to exempt the mother from chalitza, which is the process that the brother of the husband has to do when there's no children. Now that there's one child, they were going to exempt her from chalitza if he would have survived. However, he died within 30 days. Now that the halacha is, in truth, that there's a suffix, there's a doubt now because he died within 30 days. However, now the mother got up at a later point in time and she became engaged to a different man because she thought that she doesn't need to have Yibim anymore. Everyone said, oh, you have a child, great, you don't have to do Yibim. But then before day 30, he passed away. And then at a later time, she said she went to get married because she figured she was pater from Yibim because she had the child, but since it never made it to day 30, it's not so clear because it's a doubt. Maybe it wasn't considered a child. So Amar Avinu Mishmei de Rava. So Avinu said the name of Rava, and we continue on Talmud Beis, and that it depends what we should do now after the fact that she's engaged to this man. Imesh is Yisrael he. If she's now the wife of a Yisrael, and that is the husband that she now went to marry is not a Kohen, that's the one that she got engaged to, and such a husband is mutter to marry a chalutza, which is a form of gerishin, a type of divorce, which is what the brother of the husband that died without children has to do to his sister-in-law, to give her this, do this type of chalitza. That's a process that makes her into like a gerusha, like a divorced woman. Then chaylatzes, then we'll do the process of chalitza out of doubt, because again, we're not sure if the child was a viable child or not. Maybe she is obligated in the process of yibim and chalitza, and therefore, I first do the chalitza, and then let her go get married, so that we clear it on all ends. However, imish is kohen he, if she's the wife of a kohen, that is the one that she got engaged to now, is a Kayan, and if she's going to do Chalitza for my brother-in-law, she's going to be forbidden to the Kayan, because again, Chalitza is like a form of Gerishin, and a Kayan is usher, is forbidden to marry a Grusha, that in the Chalitza, we do not do the process of Chalitza, and that is in this case, we rely on the opinion of the Rabbanon, who say that a child is not considered Nephil even before day 30, and therefore she doesn't have to do Chalitza because the child was born, and although he passed away before day 30, we do not say that he's a Nephil, as Reb Shimon Gamliel said, if it doesn't survive up till day 30. That was one opinion in the name of Rava. However, Rav Shravi Mishmei de Rava Amar, Rav Shravi said a different opinion in the name of the same Amar Rava. He says, no, achazu v'achazu chaletzes. Both this case and that case, both, whether it's when she's engaged to a Kayan or Yisrael, and needs chalitza, that's like a Shem Gamlil who says if it didn't reach day 30 that we say it was a Nephil, and therefore out of doubt we have to go ahead and do chalitza, because or else she's also to marry anyone else, as the Torah says, she has to do Yibim Chalitza. And therefore, we're not concerned that now she's going to be forbidden to the one that she's engaged to. So, Amalei Ravina Rav Shravia. So, Ravina, who said the first opinion, he said to Rav Shravia, B'ur to Amar Rav Hachi. You're right, at nighttime, Rav said the opinion that you said, that both of them have to do Chalitza, and therefore she'll be forbidden to her new fiancé, the one that she's engaged to, that she's going to be Ustim, because he's a Kohen, can't marry Chalitza. However, Litzafra Hadabi, but in the morning, is when he retracted and he said, no, if she's engaged to a Kohen, then she doesn't have to do Chalitza. So Amalei, so Shravi responded to Ravina, Shirisuha? You permit such a woman without Chalitza and you're being over on the opinion of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel who says that it's not going to be a viable child up until day 30 and that is you have to do Chalitza? Yehi Ravid the Tishu Tab may be the will that you permit forbidden fats to be eaten. In other words, he was saying such a statement that, well, how can you do such a thing and say that you can go ahead and rely on the opinion of Rabban and be even the opinion of Shem Glil, who that is the halacha is like, that says that it's not viable and therefore you have to go ahead and do chalitza, and here you're permitting this woman with this kayin without chalitza, that it's wrong. It's wrong, and therefore maybe the will that you go ahead and permit other things that are totally forbidden, like eating forbidden fats. So now the Gemara continues with explaining our Mishnah. Behuda Matar Vahula Behudas argues on the opinion brought in our Mishnah regarding doing the Bris Milah on Androgynous. That in our Mishnah they said that a Suffolk, a child that's doubt, if this is the time, if this is the type of child that has to be doing a bris milah on day 8, and therefore out of doubt you cannot do it on Shabbos. And the same thing applies to androgynous, which is a doubt if it's a male child, because possibly it's a female because it has both male and female genitalia. So there, our Tanna Kamma says Aser. Rabbi Yehuda says it's permitted to do it on Shabbos. So the Gemara brings Amar Rav Shizvi, Amar Rav Chizda, Loy l'chol Amar Rabbi Yehuda androgynous zachu. It's not for everything that Rabbi Yehuda said that an androgynous that has again both male and female features that it's considered like a male. It's only regarding the inyan of bris milah, as the Gemara later is going to learn from a ribuy in the pasuk, from an extra word that comes to teach you that not only a male child in the eight can do bris milah, but even androgynous, one that has male and female features, could also do a bris milah, and that will be even on day 8. But it's not that because he considers androgynous in all circumstances like a zach, like a male. Because she'imat ha'imikin, because had you, were you to say this, that he considers an androgynous like a zach in all facets, then be'erich and yarech. Then regarding the halachas of erichin, which is when you say the erich of this person is ami, which is a parashah in the Torah that says that each age bracket, both regarding male and female, have certain worth values to them. So then, androgynous, whoever says arkay alai, that his worth of the androgynous is on me, he should have a worth like a male, at least, because he's saying that he has a value like a, he has a halacha in all status like a zachar. And from where do we know that he really doesn't have a value, and thereby you see that even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that it's not that an androgynous has a halacha like a zacher in all facets and just regarding bismillah. Because the time, like we learn the brisa, says in the pasuk ha zacher the male, and that is it says in the pasuk of Yikra and Chavzayin v'ho ye'erkach, that will be your value ha zacher regarding the male, and it talks about all the different age brackets. So that word ha zacher the male, the extra hey is what we're darshaning, is coming to exclude v'loy tumtum androgynous, but not regarding a child that's covered. And that is, you can't tell if it's male or female because the area over there is covered. But androgynous, and it also is excluded, androgynous has both male and female, that the extra word hazach, the extra hey, is excluding that it doesn't have the value of a zach. So yochol lo yehei be'erichish. So you would think that the androgynous, okay, it doesn't have the value of a man. However, maybe it would have, avol yehei be'erichish, it would have the value of a woman. Tamalayma, that's where the pasuk continues and says, Hazachar v'imnekevahi. And if it's a female, the regarding by the female, we darsh and we expound the extra word v'im, and if, which is extra, also coming to exclude that zachar vadai. Nekevado is only a definite zachar, a definite male, which is hazachar, the male, and a definite female, that is where there's a value given for the parashas of Erichin. V'loy tumtum v'androgynous, and not a tumtum, which is a child that's covered, you can't tell what it has. And androgynous is one that has both male and female features, where there it's not going to have an erich in it at all. And then we continue on at the top of Kof Lam and Zayinim et Alf, where that's in Tiris Koinim that Brisa was learned. And that's Stam Sifra, is in the parishes in Tiris Kanim is of Sifra. And as the Gemara says, Vistam Sifra, Rabbi Yehuda, and a generic a statement in the Sifra that doesn't say a different author is Rabbi Yehuda. And therefore you see that although Rabbi Yehuda says not Mishnah, that androgynous will have halacha like a zacher, like a male, regarding the halacha of milah, however you see explicitly that he himself says regarding the parasha of Erichim, which is over there in Sifra and Teres Kainim, that will not have the halacha, not like a zacher, not like a keva. So therefore you see that androgynous is not like a zacher in all areas in halacha. So Amr of Nachem Yitzchak Avinan, we also learn like this a Mishnah in Yuma that says the same idea, that it's not like a zacher in all areas. It says over there in the Mishnah, Hakol Kshem L'Kaddish, everybody is kosher, is viable to go ahead and sanctify what's called the Mechatis, the purifying waters that's used to throw on someone that became ritually impure by Tumas Mes, which is that how do you sanctify that water? By putting ashes on the water. Everyone could do that. Chutz Micher Shreid B'Katan, except for a deaf mute, someone that's mentally incompetent, and a minor. Yehuda Machshav B'Katan, Yehuda says it is kosher to do it with a child. However, Paisa B'Ishei says it's not kosher to do it with a woman. And the Gemara there in Masechtas Yuma, the third parak, explains why that is. V'androgynous, and also that's not viable to go ahead and do the B'Makadish, the Mayim over there, is an androgynous. So you see from there that Yehuda says that the androgynous has halacha like a woman and not like a zachar, because a zachar is obviously kosher, mekadesh demayim, and yet he says androgynous cannot do it like a woman. So obviously you see that it's not for all areas where Yehuda considers androgynous like a male, shemamina. So therefore the Gemara asks, so therefore maishna mila, so therefore why is circumcision any different? That there we say androgynous is like a zachar, and that you could do the bris mila on this androgynous, even on the eighth day on Shabbos. On that, the Gemara answers, "Mishum nechsev himur lechem kol zachar," because we have a pasuk that has a riboy that says that you should circumcise for yourself all your males. The extra word "kol" all is an inclusion. It's an inclusionary term which comes to include not only a male but even a doubtful male, which is a situation of a dragonist that has the arla, has the foreskin, but it also has simonim of an akeva, whether you could also do it by yemishmini on the 8th day, even on Shabbos.